We know that as that occurred, that Abraham listened to God and did as God told him to do. And to hear God from a voice from on high, just like they did in Matthew 17 and when Jesus was baptized, to hear a voice from heaven, to hear God speaking from heaven, must have been a truly life-changing event. And then you know that Abraham left Ur, going to a place which God promised, but he did not know where or how necessarily he was going to get there, except that God was going to lead him to a place of promise. So you got to understand, I think, that somebody who changes their religious views, particularly from an idol to the God of heaven, that would be a pretty much of a radical sort of change in their life. But let's talk about this now. All of us in Abraham, we know that he is a man of great faith. Now, in Galatians, Paul is writing to Christians that are of Jewish background. And if you will look over in Galatians chapter 1, in verse 6, Galatians chapter 1 in verse 6, we see the problem. There are Jewish teachers that would come by and say, a man must be circumcised. You must follow the law of Moses if you expect to get to heaven. And Paul says this in verse 6, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Jesus Christ, who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. And so, even though these Jewish teachers had come by and told the churches in Galatia these things, and they apparently believed them, and when they did that, they were leaving the grace of God, the salvation that's in Christ Jesus. And Paul comes along and tells them, hey, you guys got this all wrong. You can't do that. The Old Testament is over. It's closed. It's done. What you need to do now is continue in your faith for Jesus Christ. And he gives the example of Abraham over in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 9, which says this. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Now, that's the point that we want to get down to. But I want to back up to verse 6. So back up to verse 6 with me of Galatians 3. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, let me see if I can read it this way. Even so, Abraham put his faith, his trust in God, and in doing that, that was accounted to him or reckoned to him as being right with God Almighty. All right, so, but remember the story. So God speaks, and Abraham hears, and he now believes in Jehovah God. And as he is believing in Jehovah God, he does one thing. He does what God expects him to do. So, all right, so here we are. Galatians 3 and verse 6. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. Now, to a Jewish ear, to a Jewish mind, that's pretty big news. All right, so we know that the Jews, by heritage, would be chosen of God as far as the Old Testament was concerned. But when the Messiah came, they were required to believe that Jesus is and was the Christ. And so those who are of faith, I have faith in God, I have faith in Jesus Christ, you are sons of Abraham. Now, Abraham, back in the Old Testament, inherited three major blessings from God. A land promise, a great nation would be born from him, more than one nation, as well as the spiritual blessing in that all nations will be blessed through his descendants. Now, therefore, be assured as those who are of faith, who are sons of Abraham. So now the deal is, it's just not Jews if you're a Gentile and you have faith that you are a child of Abraham. And that means salvation. All right? So the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, what did he do? What does verse 8 say? A lot of commentators try to undo this statement, but look, God, foreseeing he would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Now, that's very super important. I don't know what aspects that God spoke to Abraham. He knew there was something in the far future that would bless all the nations of people on the earth. The fact that he preached the gospel or good news or glad tidings explained to Abraham God's viewpoint and what will happen down through time. And it goes on to say then in verse 9, so then those who are of faith, have the blessings or enjoy the blessings that Abraham the believer had. So, blessings, the idea, the goodness that Abraham looked forward to, we can look forward to that as well. So here's the point. Abraham had to believe God and do as God said, but we too, we believe in God, we believe in the Son of God, that is Jesus the Christ, and we put our faith in God and in Jesus, and in so doing, we are moved to repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of our sins, and as we have this remission of sins, we become children of God, obviously, but we are blessed by faith just like Abraham was. Now, here's something that you might want to consider. You might ask yourself, you know, am I a friend of God? Abraham was a friend of God. Can I become a friend of God? Man, that's a pretty big statement, a friend of God. When I have friends, I go talk to them, and they come over and talk to me. And we share life, we share stories, we might share some sort of libation or whatever the case might be. But nonetheless, we share life together. And so now look, please, at James chapter 2, James chapter 2 and verse 23. And it says that the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. We just saw that in Galatians. So James and Paul are on the same page. And he was called the friend of God. Why? Why was he called the friend of God? Because he and God could communicate. And as they were communicating down through life, you remember that Abraham was led by God. And then God would say, go north, and I'm still leading you north. And a little bit later, we're going to turn west. A little bit later, we're going to turn south. All right, so, you know, those were directions by God because Abraham was being led by God. But Abraham did as God wanted him to do. Now, I want to take a look at one more place, and that's Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11, 8 through 9. Hebrews chapter 11, 8 through 9. By faith, Abraham. By trusting in God, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. So we see, we understand that by faith, Abraham lived in faith. He lived in trust of God. He lived in trust of what God had to say. And then he did as God would want him to do. Obedient faith. That's a faith that says, I trust you so much, oh God, that I am going to do as a matter of fact, Jehovah God, I am going to put my life on the line for you, with you, because of your promises, because of your word, because of the goodness that you have shown down through the ages. And so, Jehovah God, I put my trust in you. But now, let me ask you this question. What if Abraham had told God, well, you know, Father God, I hear what you said, and I certainly believe that you are God. I'm wrong about worshiping the moon, and so I want to correct that for sure, because you are the true God, and so I'll listen to you, but, you know, I think I'm just fine right where I am. I think I'll just stay here, God. It doesn't seem reasonable to me to pack up all my belongings and my nephew and my wife and move up and out and go who knows where. I could be 5 miles from here or could be 1,500 miles from here. Who knows? But God, I think I can serve you right here where I am. Does that not sound like the denominational world today? It's all about faith. It's all about grace. And it's not that they have to do the things that God says, although most of them want to do something according to the line of what God had to say. But nevertheless, they had their own way of thinking. They had their own way of playing out their faith. And we know that that's just won't get it. So when we say or we read from the scripture that baptism is essential for salvation, and they say, oh, no, it's not. And then how would you argue with Jesus? Because Jesus said those words, and he is God. So would you actually argue with God about any point? And so you see that the idea of faith, what got Abraham to be a friend of God, was somebody who was willing to do as God said to do. All right. So now let's think about that. Our faith is the same faith as Abraham. So let's look at this. But you know, Abraham had a compelling faith. Perhaps you're still there in the book of Hebrews. Let's look at verse 10. And it says in verse 10 of Hebrews 11, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now, unless God had communicated to Abraham, how would he know to look for that city? How would he understand that through all of these promises that the Lord God of heaven is going to offer salvation to everyone on the planet, and then understand that there is going to be a city that is reserved for those of the kingdom of heaven. All right, so now let's look as well in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, please. So Abraham had compelling faith. I don't know if he had a vision. I don't know if he just heard God talking to him about this city, this heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. Nonetheless, he certainly believed that. He certainly believed God. But now let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 7. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go back. Let's take a look at, let's start in verse 1. For we know that if the earthly tent, and our body, you see, is the earthly tent, which is our house, this is where we live, our soul lives within our body. If it's torn down, that means if it dies, we have a building from God that is a spirit body, a house not made with hands, and the spirit body is going to be eternal in heaven. For indeed in our body we groan. Now, you know what a groan is. Have you ever had the flu? you might be groaning through the flu. You ever had a sore muscle that really, really hurt? You might be groaning through that. If you eat something that upsets your tummy, you would be groaning through that. You understand what the word groan means. For indeed, in this house, this body, we groan. Why? Because the world is dark and sinful and mean and punishing, and all kinds of garbage comes through in this world. For indeed, in this house, we groan, desiring, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Now, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. And that's kind of an important deal. For indeed, while we are in this tent, this body, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by true eternal life. Now, he who prepared us for this purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Now, if you buy a house, you're likely required to put down what's called earnest money. And the Holy Spirit is given as an earnest of God's promise to save us, and that we will be with him forever and ever in heaven. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, we walk by faith. Abraham walked by faith. I mean, literally, he walked by faith. God said, get up and go, and he went up and went, and there he goes. He's walking by faith, literally, and as well spiritually. And we too are walking by faith. We are believing in God, and we are trusting God every day for our spiritual needs, so that we too might get home to that spiritual place. We are of good courage, I say, prefer to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Now, verse 9, therefore, we have also as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to the Lord. Pleasing to the Lord. So how do we know what's pleasing to the Lord? Well, we get the Old New Testament out and we start reading, and we see the will of God is expressed many times and in many ways throughout the New Testament. And we desire to live those ways, that is, to please God, because we trust him, because we love him, because we want to please him. And God's promise still stands true. All right, so let's go back to the book of James. Once again, back in James, the second chapter. James chapter 2. Abraham had a compelling faith, since he saw that city that God spoke of, or knew of that city that God spoke of. We too have a compelling faith. Now, that word compelling is just a plain old English word that says, I am pushed, I am pulled, I am drawn to, I have to do this, I am compelled to do this. That's what that word means. And so when you have a compelling faith, that means, oh, I've got to do this. Now take a look at James chapter 2 and verse 24. You see that a man is made right in God's eyes. That word justified. You see that a man is justified by his good deeds, by works, and not by faith alone. So in order to please God, we have to move along, trusting in God, doing what it is that he wants us to do. All right. So, Abraham had faith. We have faith. Abraham had a compelling faith because of the view of heaven. We have the same view. We are compelled to live by God in faith. And let's get to this point right here. Once again, faith and action leads us to the heavenly city. Would you turn over with me to Revelation chapter 14? Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And we're going to read down through to verse 12, but let me read starting in verse 1. John is saying this. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb, that is Jesus, was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Now, don't follow the Jehovah's Witnesses' thought. The 144,000 means a lot of people. It doesn't mean specifically or literally that there's going to be 144,000 only in heaven. That's not at all what this is saying. In verse 2, I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters and the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the saved, the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth, purchased by God's blood, Jesus' blood. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And no lie was found in their mouth. The point being that they are blameless. All right. Now, verse 6. I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth. Eternal gospel, the word of God that is going to be expressed, the good news, the glad tidings of God, that people can come home to him and live in heaven forever. And to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of waters. Now, as we're talking about this, when God says that, or the vision says that judgment has come, that's judgment on the imperial city of Rome. All right? So that's one of the things about Revelation. You've got to read this as a book of signology, signs. And so you've got to kind of sort of read this with a double mind, if you will. And another angel, this is verse 8, a second one, followed, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, that is Rome, the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and Rome was incredibly immoral. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image, that is Satan and his in Rome, receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will also drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Now notice that he will drink, he will experience the wrath of God, which is not mixed with water. It says that in verse 10, the evil people are going to be of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Now here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Now, if you and I were writing this, we'd probably put faith in front of the commandments of God. Nevertheless, it is written as it is written. And so because we have faith, because we trust God, when Jesus tells us no adultery, that means we're not going to commit adultery. When Jesus says don't steal, that means that we're not going to steal anything from anybody. When Jesus says be kind to others, then we're going to be kind to one another, and we're going to be kind to the lost. When Jesus says that we need to be gentle in teaching and patient in teaching the lost, then that's exactly what God expects of us, and that's what we're going to do. Faith always leads us to action to the heavenly city. You cannot have the heavenly city unless you do what pleases God. Now, I often go to Matthew 7:21. You know this by heart. Only those who do the will of the Father will see the kingdom of heaven. So whatever God's will is, whatever God wants done upon this earth, that's what we do. It's amazing, isn't it? That we can go all the way back, almost to the beginning of the book of Genesis. His story, Abraham's story, begins in at least Genesis chapter 12. Going all the way back, and then to understand that whatever faith that Abraham had, he was the friend of God because he believed and did. And that we in this age, you understand that Abraham lived about 5,000 years ago? And 5,000 years ago, as Abraham had that faith, today in 2023, we can also have the same faith as Abraham. And the promises that were given to Abraham are the same promises that we enjoy. That is the city, that is the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. So this morning, I simply ask you this question.